So let's look at some of these scriptures here. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, starting with verse 1, it says, "Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, all ate the same spiritual food, all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness." That's really an understatement when he said, with most of them, he was not well pleased. He wasn't pleased with any of them except for two, and that was Joshua and Caleb. And that entire generation died in the desert. So let's take a look at what happened to them. And I think that we can relate it to today. Whenever I read the scriptures, I always ask the Lord, what does that mean to me today? How can I take this word and it can be a strength to me so that I can live the way that you want me to live, and I can be the person that you want me to be, and I can represent Jesus the way you want me to represent him. And I believe that when we study the Word of God and we get this in us, there's something about eating the Word of God. Jeremiah said, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them." You eat the Word of God. You take it in. It goes into your being. It goes into your mind, and it does something to you. It is powerful. It has the ability to change our ways. It has the ability to change our lives. Every single one of you who are born again of the Spirit of God, a day came in your life when you realized that you were a sinner and that you needed a Savior. And you heard about Jesus and you heard the story and you decided that I want to follow Jesus. Every one of us who are born again. And when we made that confession of faith, when we asked Christ to forgive us of our sins, he came in. And he came in the presence of the Holy Spirit. And the scripture says that therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things pass away and all things become new. How many of you can relate to that? Old things pass away. I had a lot of old things in my life that had to pass away. And by the power of the Word of God, I was able to come away from my sins and not continue to do them. That's how powerful God is. And he will work in every single one of our lives the same way. So these people here, God was not pleased with them. Why wasn't he pleased with them? Let's take a look at what he has to say, starting with verse 6. "Now these things became our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted." So he said that they become our examples, that we should not do these evil things that they were doing. So what were they doing? He goes on, he says, "And do not become idolaters as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Nor let us commit sexual immorality, as some of them did. And in one day, 23,000 fell. Nor let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed by serpents. Nor complain, as some of them also complained, and were destroyed by the destroyer." Now all these things happened to them as examples, that they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. So they became our examples of what not to do, what we shouldn't go after. And so the first one that I want to look at here, I'm not going to read the rest of the chapter until I get to the end. The first one I want to, verse 6 says, these are our examples to the extent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. What were these evil things? There's four of them. Idolatry, sexual immorality, they tempted Christ, and they murmured and complained. Now I want to take a look at these four examples of things that they did. And I think you'll be able to relate to them because they pop up in all of our lives and we have to deal with them. And so we want to be careful not to do what they did. Remember, that whole generation died in the wilderness. So the first example that we should not follow is idolatry. If you have your Bibles with you, you can turn to Exodus 32, verse 1 through 4 says, "Now when the people saw that Moses delayed coming down from the mountain, the people gathered together to Aaron and said to him, 'Come, make us gods that shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him.'" Remember, he was up there with God for 40 days. That's all it took. And they were ready to follow someone else. And I think about that for a minute, you know. Has it been 40 days since you've been trying to receive something from God and you don't know what to do? Are you ready to walk away like they did? Be careful. Then he went on, he says, "And Aaron said to them, 'Break off the golden earrings which are in your ears of your wives and your sons and your daughters and bring them to me.' So all the people broke off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them to Aaron. And they received the gold from their hands, and he fashioned it with an engraving tool and made a molten calf. Then they said, 'This is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt.'" That just boggles my mind. These people, you know, they're in bondage for 400 years in Egypt, and God delivers them. First thing he does is he opens the sea up. Can you imagine that? He opens the sea up. And they walk across on dry land. I can just imagine looking at that water on both sides of them and thinking, man, I hope this water don't come down on me, but this is amazing. They walk through the sea on dry ground, and then the sea closes in on Pharaoh's army and destroys the entire army. That was the first miracle that they saw as they came out of Egypt. Of course, they saw the mighty hand of God that delivered them through all the 10 plagues that he brought upon Egypt. And now here they are. Moses goes up on the mountain to get the 10 commandments, and he's gone for too long as far as they're concerned, and already they've lost their faith in God. And they make this golden calf. I can't even hardly imagine that, but I know what the heart of people is like. I know how quickly we can change when things don't go the way that we want them. And sometimes we whine and we complain, and we'll get into that too, because that's another thing they did, is murmured and complained, and that does something to you. Don't think that it doesn't. What you think, how you act, and what you do does something to you. The Lord gave us instruction. He showed us in his word how we should think, how we should act, what we should do. He told us all of these things, and all we have to do is obey him, and we become strong. Bill, you mentioned that I've been faithful over these 52 years almost now. And there's only one reason why I've been faithful to the Lord, because it's certainly not because of me. And you know that in your own selves, if it was left up to you, you would have walked away a long time ago in many different situations if you didn't have something. But one thing that I did as a young Christian is I got into the Word of God. And I began to memorize the Word of God. I took a class by the Navigators. It's an organization, they're still around today, an organization that ministers to the people in the Navy on the ships. And it's all about memorizing the Word of God. So I began to memorize the Word of God in the very first year that I became a Christian. And I didn't know nothing in the Word of God before that. But I got into the Word of God, and the Word of God is what gave me strength and power to be able to be the person that God desired me to be. It was God's Word that did that. So I ask you today, are you in the Word of God? Do you read the Word of God? Is there any kind of consistency to your reading, to your study? Timothy told us to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But we should study the Word of God. It's the Word of God that gives us the power and the strength to be what we need to be. These people obviously were not listening, to the Lord. And so 40 days goes by, or maybe 39, I'm not sure how when it was when they made that calf, after seeing the mighty hand of God, and now they're ready to worship an idol, a golden calf. There's many things that we can worship as idols today that draw us away from the Lord. And I got this thing about Sunday in the house of the Lord. You know, the fourth commandment says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. I want you to think about that for a minute. Do you remember the Sabbath day? Today, it's the Lord's day. Do you think about the Lord's day? And what does it mean to us? What does it mean to you, the Lord's day? Does it mean that the best I can, I try to make it on Sunday and put my hour and a half or 2 hours in, you know. Most churches, it's about an hour, you know. And then I just run and do what I want to do. My thoughts are my thoughts. My desires are my desires. God, you had your hour or two. Now I'm going to do what I want to do. Is that the way that we think about it? If we do, then the Lord's day will not be special to us. And he said, remember it. Bill, you preached on holiness for 3 weeks. And we know that without holiness, we can't see God. So does it mean something? Is it important? I truly believe that it's extremely important because we are all part of a body of believers. If you have been born again of the Spirit of God, God puts you in a body. And you could all stand up and you're all part of that body. Some of you are, I would say the hair on your head, but I know Tommy doesn't have too much, so that's the pot calling the kettle black. But we're part of a body. And he expects us to come together. You know, every time I see a face here on Sunday and I get a chance to greet you, it's special. It means something to me, and I believe it means something to you. And God intended for us to come together and to worship together. And I believe that when we do that, you won't find us worshiping our sacred cows. That sacred cow could be many things. I have another verse of scripture at the end here. I guess I better move on. So he goes on, he says, then they said, this is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt. And then I put down here my notes, how soon we forget. What do we worship today in place of God? What is more important to us than God? Colossians 3:5, this is jumping over into the New Testament now, and he talks about what idols are in Colossians 3:5. He said, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and we can lust after a lot of things. Lust, evil desires, greed or money, which is idolatry. All of those things are idolatry. What are you lusting after? What's taking you away from the presence of the Lord, from the Lord's day, from the body of believers whom he puts you in? If you're the hand, the right hand, that's authority and power, and you're not there, then the body is lacking. It's just not the same. And that's why God put us together to work together. It is extremely important that we don't fall into idolatry, things that become more important to us. Well, Sunday, you know, we're having this, I better watch what I'm saying here. Go to meddling. But I, the people who know me, especially my family knows this, and a lot of my family's here, is that I wouldn't put anything before the Lord on Sunday. I'm going to the house of the Lord, and I'm going to worship the Lord, and then I'll do whatever it is. And in this case, this is going back quite a few years, but we used to have these big family reunions, and they'd want us to come, and when it was our turn, and get the tables, because we used to go to the park. And you'd have to watch the table so nobody come and get him. You need so many. And I said, well, we can't do that because we're going to be in church on Sunday. And throughout all the years, and again, my children can attest to this, that the most important thing on Sunday is the house of the Lord. I didn't let anything become an idol to me. And a lot of things can become an idol. I think just a few, just to kind of stimulate our brain a little bit. I got this nice big boat, especially in the summers here, you know. And, you know, I paid, you know, $35,000 for this thing, and I got to use it. You know, I work all week. I got to take it out on the weekend, you know, and I'd like to be there on Sunday, but I can't because I got to be out on this boat. I believe that when that happens, it becomes an idol. You put it above God. You think that boat's going to make you happier than what God is? It might for a moment, because it says there's pleasure in sin for a season. But when it's all said and done, the only thing that's going to matter is Jesus. That's what we sang about here this morning, Jesus. There is no other name above that name of Jesus whereby men can be saved. And at the name of Jesus, every knee is going to bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Has he been your Lord, or do you have idols in your life? You need to search your heart. The Holy Spirit will help you. Are you listening to the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit's on the inside of us. He helps us in every single area of our lives. Are you listening to the Holy Spirit? When is the last time you heard the voice of the Holy Spirit? I've prayed this prayer probably thousands of times. I tell the Lord, I want to hear your voice every day in my life. Because as I'm walking my way and I'm doing this and I do that, and the Lord said, don't do that. Have you ever heard him speak to you and say that? He's been saying that a lot to me about my wife of late, you know, when I fuss after her, you know, and the Holy Spirit say, don't do that. I don't know if she realizes it or not. I think she does, but but the Holy Spirit speaks to us, and he wants us to let our light shine. And you can't let your light shine if you're not listening to him. If you're not listening to the Spirit, you won't let your light shine. You won't share the goodness of God. You've got too many other things on your mind. When is the last time you shared the goodness of God with somebody in your life. Think about it. Think about it. I really believe that the Holy Spirit wants to challenge us here today because he wants to be intimate with us. He wants us to hear his voice. If there's something that you've had problems with years, give it to the Lord. Listen to the Holy Spirit. He will give you victory in that. Okay, I think I've said enough here. I hope that you get the point. Don't let any idols come in your life where you pursue them and you run after them in place of God. Don't let any of them take the place of God. The second evil thing was sexual immorality. And I'm telling you, this day and age that we're living in, it's to me, it's horrible. I'm reading my Bible app, and it got a picture of this woman on, you know, how the commercials pop up on the side. Got a woman in a bathing suit. And I'm thinking, why are they putting this on a Bible app? I don't know if you've ever experienced that or not, but I read Bible Gateway all the time, and I did have a thing where I didn't have to have commercials, and then I changed my credit card, and they stopped it, and I never got back with them. But sexual immorality is running rampant in our day and age. And he said to them, to avoid this sexual immorality. In Numbers 25, let's read that. Now Israel remained in Achaia Grove, and the people began to commit harlotry with the women of Moab. They invited the people to the sacrifices of their gods, and the people ate and bowed down to their gods. So Israel was joined to Baal of Peor, and the anger of the Lord was aroused against Israel. That's his people. We're his people. If we begin to worship these other idols, they lead us to certain things, and God's not pleased with that. The Lord said to Moses, this is something, he didn't mess around with it back then. We really have to thank God for the age of grace. He didn't mess around with it back then. Then the Lord said to Moses, take all the leaders of the people and hang the offenders before the Lord out in the sun, that the fierce anger of the Lord may turn away from Israel. So Moses said to the judges of Israel, every one of you kill his men who were joined with the Baal of Peor. And indeed, one of the children of Israel came and presented his brother, a Midianite woman, in the sight of Moses and in the sight of all the congregation of the children of Israel, who were weeping at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. Now when Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, saw it, he rose from among the congregation and took a javelin in his hand and went after the man of Israel into the tent and thrust both of them through, the man of Israel and the woman through her body. So the plague had stopped among the children of Israel, and those who died in the plague were 24,000. So what happened is when they allowed the Midianites to come in, the story behind that is when Balak wanted Balaam, he basically tried to hire him to put a curse on Israel, and Balaam couldn't curse him. Every time he set up another altar, the Lord would only bless his people. So Balak, who was a Moabite, Balaam said to him, after he tried three times to curse him and God wouldn't let him, he said, well, what you need to do is let all the Moabite women go into Israel, and then the Lord's anger will be aroused against Israel. And that's exactly what happened. And so they committed adultery with these women. And so when we serve other gods, then we align with their principles, and set of the principles of the Lord. And God is trying to keep us holy unto himself so that he can bless us and we can be above and not beneath. We can be the head and not the tail. Are you struggling a little bit and nothing's working out right for you? Maybe it's because you're not doing the right things. God gives us instruction of how we should act. These are examples. Make sure that we don't let any of these sins come in upon us. So then the third thing, and I thought this one was really, really important here. The third evil thing they did was they tempted Christ. And I know that affects all of us here today. There's times when we tempt Christ. And the Lord said, don't do that. The example he gives is in Exodus 17, 1 through 7. Then all the congregation of the children of Israel set out on their journey from the wilderness of Sin, according to the commandment of the Lord, and camped at Rephidim. But there was no water for the people to drink. Therefore, the people contended with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. So Moses said to them, why do you contend with me? Why do you tempt the Lord? Well, it seems like, what's wrong with that request? They didn't have any water and they wanted water. The problem is that they didn't trust God to give them water. What are you going through today? What kind of problems are you facing? And you cry out to God and you say, oh God, you got to come through. You got to do this. Yet how many times has the Lord taken care of you? How many times has he brought you out? But now the pressure of this situation causes you to forget who God is. And that's what happened here. They saw God open up the Red Sea before them. He saw him capture all their enemies before them. And now they don't have any water and they're complaining instead of trusting God. And it says they tempted the Lord. And the people thirsted there for water, and the people complained against Moses and said, why is it that you have brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst? So Moses cried out to the Lord, saying, what shall I do with this people? In other words, all these mighty things that you have did, and they're still not trusting you to take care of them. They are almost ready to stone me. And the Lord said to Moses, go on before the people and take with you some of the elders of Israel. Also take in your hand your rod, which you struck the river, and go. Behold, I will stand before you there and on the rock in Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and a water will come out of it that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of all the elders of Israel. So they called the name of the place Massah and Meribah because of the contention of the children of Israel and because they tempted the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? Every single one of us has probably did this before. Lord, where are you? Don't you see my dilemma? Don't you see my situation? Where are you? Well, you know what? He isn't one anywhere. He's still God. And if I have to go through something, then I'm going to go through. You keep going through. You don't stop in the middle of it and let it take advantage of you. You go through it. And that's what we need to do. Otherwise, we get into a situation where we're tempting the Lord. In other words, we're saying, God, are you really God? Is God really God? Is he? What's the answer to that? Come on, you guys, are you listening to me? Yes, he is God. Is God good most of the time, but once in a while he's, you know, he's a little hard of hearing, or, you know, he doesn't care? Is that God? No, never is that God. God is always good. Always. I don't care what it is that I go through, what I have to face, no matter what, God is always God, and God is good. And I know, and I've said to myself many times and before the Lord, I said, Lord, I know there's no problem with you. If there's a problem, it's me. And that's always the case. Because we're allowing circumstances and situations. Maybe I don't have enough and I need more. And so I'm starting to feel bad because I don't have enough and I need more. And I can't figure out when I say, God, I need more, and you're not giving me more. What's wrong? There's nothing wrong with him. You're not trusting him. So he'll take, if you believe him, he'll take what little you have, and he'll make that little go a long way. Isn't that what he did? He gave us examples of that in the Bible. Remember the oil that he gave to the widow woman? It didn't run out. Little that she had, she did what the man of the Lord told her to do, and it never run out. God will never leave us or forsake us. He's with us always. We need to have that drilled into our hearts and into our minds and into our spirits, and then we will not tempt the Lord. He goes on and he says, in Numbers 21, 5 and 6, it says, and the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and our soul loathes this worthless bread. So the Lord sent a fiery serpent among the people, and they bit the people, and many of the people of Israel died because they complained against the Lord. I mean, God, sometimes I think maybe it'd be better if he was doing some of that today. But he knows a whole lot better than I do, and he knows a whole lot better than you do. And thank God for his mercy. He's merciful and he's kind. A lot of us would have been destroyed already if it hadn't have been for God's mercy and grace. So anyways, and I put down here, this is one of the most grievous sins they committed, because after all the mighty miracles that they had seen, they still did not trust God. And that's what God wants from us. He wants us to trust him. And if you have to go through something, again, go through it. And when you come out on the other end, God's blessing will be there. That I guarantee you. Psalm 78 says, and they tested God in their heart by asking for the food of their fancy. Yes, they spoke against God. They said, can God prepare a table in the wilderness? Behold, he struck the rock so that the waters gushed out and the streams overflowed. Can he give us bread also? So in other words, they acknowledged the fact that he had blessed them in the past, but is he going to continue to bless us and give us bread? Can he provide meat for his people? Therefore, the Lord heard this, and he was furious. When they said this, they said, okay, you know, he's done a few things for us, but can he give us bread? Can he give us meat to eat? He gave us water. And because they did not trust him, it made him furious. And of course, all of these other mighty signs that he did when he brought them out, they forgot all that. They forgot the goodness and the blessings of the Lord. Have you forgot the goodness and the blessings of the Lord? And now you're just walking your own way and you're doing your own thing, but then you get in trouble and you say, oh God, I need you. Where are you at? And if you don't get an answer right away, you're ready to turn your back on God. That don't work. That don't work. They died in the wilderness. And this is going to come right down to the end here, because it's going to ask all of us a question where we're at. Therefore, the Lord heard this, and he was furious. So a fire was kindled against Jacob. The anger also came up against Israel because they did not believe in God and did not trust in his salvation. Trust. They basically did not trust the Lord. Think about that this morning. Every single one of you is here today. Think about that. Am I trusting the Lord? If you trust him, he takes care of all of your needs. My God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory. If we trust him. So if I have to go through something, and all of us are going to go through something. You go through hurts, you go through trials, you go through tribulations. All these things happen to all of us. None of us are immune to that. But in the midst of all of that, are you trusting God? And I like to think about what Job said. I mean, Job lost everything. Everything he had. He was a rich, wealthy man. He lost all of his flocks, all of his herds. He lost all of his children. He might have wished he lost his wife, but he didn't lose her. But he lost everything. And what did he say? He said, though he slay me, yet will I praise him. That's the kind of testimony that I want to have. No matter what I have to go through, no matter what my trial may be, no matter if I lose everything, I still want to have my trust and my confidence in the Lord. And that's the way he wants us to be. Trust him no matter what. Don't tempt him. Trust him. He will make a way when there seems like there is no way. And I don't know how long we have to go through those trials and tribulations. Sometimes it's a whole lot longer than we want to. But if we keep trusting, we keep believing, keep realizing that God is God and I'm his child. So if I need to go through this, there's something good going to happen because of all of this. He'll make it for good because I'm his child. In Philippians, wait a minute, I'm jumping ahead. I almost missed the fourth point here. Don't want to do that. The fourth evil thing, now remember, they did all these things. All the Israelites did these things, and he said they were written down for an example for us, so that we would not lust after these evil things as they lusted after them. These are evil things that happened to us. They're not just, you know, well, it's, you know, it's not all that bad. No, it's all that bad. It's evil. They're evil things, he said here. And the last thing, the fourth evil thing was they grumbled and complained. Man, that's one of the four? They grumbled and complained? Has anybody out there ever been guilty of grumbling and complaining? Put your hand up. Everybody, put your hand up so that I don't. There you go. We all have, haven't we? Pastor put his up the highest. That's not true. He's a good guy. I love that man. I love how God has used him. But grumbling and complaining, we're all guilty of grumbling and complaining at one time or another. But if we are constant grumblers and complainers, you know what that does? It creates a certain personality about you. You ever hear somebody say, man, that guy, he's grumbling, complaining all the time. I used to work with this guy at work, and he never had a good word to say about anything. I remember I was running two machines. I run a laser at work, and I was running two machines, and we were cutting these long railroad ties, and we were cutting notches out of them, and they made it's a carrier for car frames is what it was. So they were heavy, and it took two of us, and I would run over to my other laser where I'm cutting a die over there and make sure everything was going right. And then I would run back, and he said, why don't you just shut that thing off? We only need to run this one machine. You don't have to do them both. And he was always like that, grumbling and complaining. And I'm the type of person is I like to keep busy. I like to do whatever I can do, you know. But some people just grumble and complain all the time. And when that happens, it develops a personality within you. And it's not one that is pleasing. It's not one that anybody's going to seek after, you know. Nobody likes a grumbler and a complainer. And that's what they did. Now, in Numbers 14, 1 through 9, he talks about this. That night, all the members of the community raised their voices and wept aloud. All Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the whole assembly said to them, if only we had died in Egypt or in this wilderness, why is the Lord bringing us to this land only to let us fall by the sword? This is after they got their report back. 10 of the people said, there ain't no way we're going into that land. There are giants over there. We look like grasshoppers in their sight. And this is what they said after they got that report. And it said, our wives and our children would be taken as plunder. Wouldn't it have been better for us to go back to Egypt? And they said to each other, we should choose a leader and go back to Egypt. How many of you have thought about going back? I remember when I was tempted as a young man, because I had a lot of things that God had to take out of my life. And I was tempted as a young man to do some of the things. One of them was drinking. And one night, the wife got mad at me, and she started screaming at me and just made me feel terrible. I'm sure she'd tell this story a little bit different than what I am. But anyways, I remember I slammed the front door. I mean, we'd only been married a short time, and I'd only been a Christian less than a year. And, you know, I had stopped drinking the day I got saved. And so this is about maybe 8 months later. And I remember I left the house, and I took off down the road, and I come up to the stop sign. I said, I'm going to just get me a sick pack, and I'm going to ride around the country. I used to love doing that, and I'll just, you know, drink my beer and make me feel good. And I got to the corner, and I don't know what it was. I'd say, Lord, give me a vision. And I had this bottle of beer in my hand, and I started to take a drink out of it, and my hand started shaking. And before I could get that beer bottle to my mouth, it was empty. And I remember saying this to the Lord. I said, why would I want to go back to Egypt? Why would you go back to Egypt? They were in slavery for 400 years there. And now they're saying, to their detriment, we might as well pick another leader. We should choose a leader and go back to Egypt. Some of you have been there. Just like the testimony I just gave, but maybe even worse so. Where you thought, I might as well go back. God's not hearing me. God doesn't care. Them are lies, aren't they? Because He does hear you and He does care. But we listen to the lies instead of listening to the truth of the Word of God. And so they were ready to go back to Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell face down in front of the whole Israelite assembly gathered there, Joshua son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had explored the land, tore their clothes and said to the entire assembly, "The land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into the land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will devour them. Their protection is gone." Remember who you are. You are a child of the Most High. He is not going to let you go. He will bring you out. Just stand strong with the Lord. He said, their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Two men out of that whole generation were the only ones that believed God. The rest of them died in the wilderness. Do not be afraid of them. But the whole assembly talked about stoning them. They didn't believe at all. After all the things that they had seen God do, they did not believe. And then in the New Testament, Philippians 2:14 says, "Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless, harmless, and harmless, children of God, without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world." So we're not the complainers. We're not the grumblers. We are the children of the Most High. And the light of the Lord shines in our lives. Let the light of Jesus shine in you. Don't grumble and complain. The Lord will bring you out. The Lord will show you the way. After these examples of things we should not do, he tells us to be careful. In verse 12, I already quoted this at the first of the message. He says this, "Therefore, to him that thinks he stands, take heed, lest he fall." Spiritual pride is a powerful deceiver. Now, what I mean by that is, just because you come to church on a Sunday once or twice or three times a month, or maybe you're even faithful, that doesn't make you a Christian, does it? I mean, it seems like because we're created in the image of God, everybody has a desire, you know, to do something right, even the bad people. You know, I heard a testimony of a mafia guy that's killing people, but he wouldn't miss a Saturday night confession for the Lord for nothing. He thought he was okay, thought he was a good guy. We all think we're good people, but there's none good. No, not one. All of us have gone astray. Everyone has turned to his own way. And the Lord laid upon him the iniquity of us all. So check yourself. Examine yourself. In 2 Corinthians 13:5, it says, "Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified?" And the only thing that would disqualify us is us doing our own thing, us figuring it out. "Well, I don't think I have to do that. I don't think I need to go to church every Sunday." That's just one. I like that one. But there's so many things that we put before God. just like Pastor Bill said, summer's coming. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with us enjoying ourselves and taking a vacation. We all need that, don't we? But that doesn't mean every month there's something that, or once or twice a month, I've got to do this or do that instead of being where God wants me to be, in His house. God loves us. I think about the worship this morning, and I know that when the worship of the Lord fills the house, God wants to give good gifts to His children. He wants to bless us as we seek Him. We trust Him and believe Him. We can cast our care upon Him because He cares for us, and He will help me. He will take care of me. Are we seeking after God? Is it a delight to come to His house? If you put a lot of other things in your mind, it's probably not a delight to come to the house of the Lord. You're probably sitting back there saying, when are they going to stop singing that song? That's what will happen. But if you're seeking God and you want to honor Him and you want to worship Him and you know that He's in the house, you will worship Him and God will meet your needs. He will meet your need. He'll take care of you. So He says, examine yourselves this morning. I want you to think about this message because, again, these were examples that we should not follow. They were negative examples. We can make it no matter what the temptation is. God is there for us, and He will not let us be overtaken by it. The last verse of Scripture I want to share with you today is 1 Corinthians 10:13. There hath no temptation taken you except such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it.